Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're glad you're with us here today. Hopefully you're staying cool out there, staying well hydrated. It's a good reminder for all of us to check on the people who are elderly, check on people who, you know, it's a good opportunity for us to, you know, buy an air conditioner for someone who really needs an air conditioner, just a little box air conditioner. You know, you can buy them for $89. Or a box fan you can buy for $15. And what a great gift that can be for someone, especially an elderly person or person in our community who, you know, who could really use that. Because, you know, it can be the matter between life and death, you know. So heat stroke is a real thing. So stay hydrated and try to stay someplace cool and to pray for those. And that's what today's scriptures are a lot about, that, about praying for other people. Do I pray for anyone else? Do I pray, period? Do I pray for myself? So it's going to be some very wonderful scriptures. And of course, we're heading towards Independence Day. You know, there's no greater independence than the freedom of religion. And I think it's what makes this country so great, that we have freedom to worship in this country, even though some of the past administrations, yes, especially the Democrats, have been very negative towards religious organizations, especially the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church has always struggled with that for the last 200 plus years, has struggled for those freedoms in the United States here. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's you know, kind of this thing where to try to drive the Catholic Church out of America. And I'll tell you what, my brothers and sisters, the Catholic Church has done great things for America, especially in leading us in our conscience, you know, for our country to have a conscience. And do we have a conscience? You know, do I go to reconciliation? Do I feel any guilt for the wrongs I've done? You know, but I will say one thing that I thought that was, you know, not to be real political or anything like that, but I thought it was very exciting to see this new person who is a Democrat, this young lady out in New York in the Bronx, who won the primary and as a Democrat against another Democrat. And, you know, she's talking about helping the people, not just rich people lining their pockets, not just the establishment getting bigger, right? And that's what we've seen in this country in the last 50 years. The country has not, you know, despite of all the good that has happened in this country in the last 50 years, there's been a lot of bad that's happened too. And we're really off track with taking care of the poor, taking care of the elderly, taking care of the unborn, and taking care of religious freedom. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, the current president that we have right now has done more for religious freedom in this country, I think, than the last 10 presidents. So, you know, you can't deny that. I don't, you know, his personality is not the best, but you know what? We have to get things done. Work needs to get done. So we're glad you're with us here today. Don't want to be really political, but it's the 4th of July, and, you know, the truth is the truth, and we have to talk about some of this stuff sometimes. And it's not the election right now, and it's not against the law anymore to talk about this. Thanks be to God. You know, talk about this one way or another. It's not against the law. Where it was before. See? It was before. It was against the law. You know, as a religious, you can't talk about politics. You know, give me a break. So, you know, I'm really energized today, because I know that this is the greatest country on the face of the earth, the United States of America. And what makes it great is its people, the people who work. It's not necessarily the politicians that make this country great. It's the people that make this country great, the people who manufacture things, the people who create things, the people who engineer things. That's what makes this country great. And the diversity of this country is what makes this country great, the greatest country in the world. And we're going to read some great scripture readings today, and we're going to have a little account of theology of the body that we talked about last weekend. This will be our second one, the biblical account of the creation analyzed. And I just want you to write that down. It's at Theology of the Body, St. Pope John Paul II. It's on EWTN.com's website. There is 100-plus different audiences that St. Pope John Paul II did, and just some beautiful, beautiful stuff about human beings, about us, and who we are. What we're made of, what we're meant to do, what we're meant to be, who we're meant to be. And so, some beautiful stuff there. But let's go right into the scriptures. And in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and this is the Epiphany Radio Program, hoping you will have an awakening today of your faith, of your love for Jesus Christ, as love for your neighbor, love for your brothers and sisters. If you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. Or you can go to holyfamilyradio.net. That has a listing of a lot of the Catholic radio stations here in southwestern Michigan. And they also archive our radio show, this program, this Epiphany radio program, for the last few years. They have that on there. So let's go right into the readings. This is the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. 13, one of my favorite numbers because it's a number of for Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima. And so we remember this on this 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time. These scripture readings, which are read at Masses all throughout Catholic churches all throughout the world. And basically what you're getting in this program today is you're getting Liturgy of the Word and a little bit of preaching. But when you go to Mass, when you enter into the Mass, when you go to worship God in the Catholic Church, you have Liturgy of the Word, a lot of praying, which is so beautiful, and then Liturgy of the Eucharist, where we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist at Holy Communion. That is the Liturgy of the Eucharist, the second half of the Mass. And we would say that is the summit of the Mass, not the Word, not to make the word smaller, but nothing greater than that, than to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ inside of us, to receive that actually physically inside of us. So let us start with our first reading today, which is from the Book of Wisdom. This is Wisdom 1, 13 through 15, and then also chapter 2, 23 through 24. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being. And the creatures of the world are wholesome. And there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth. For justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world. And they who belong to his company experienced it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians 8. 7, 9, 13 through 15. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and the love we have for you, may you excel in his gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that his poverty you might become rich. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that as a matter of equity, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, and that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever has much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Mark. This is Mark chapter 5, 21 through 43. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt it in her body that she was healed from her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer? Disregard the message that was reported." Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. But he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talikatha kulom," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So a beautiful gospel reading for us today, a lot to meditate on, a lot to think about, considering, you know, last week, this summer solstice, we meet this time that, you know, this midpoint of the year, 6 months before Christmas, the feast of St. John the Baptist. And Jesus, in a very powerful way, is challenging us in multiple ways to reach out to him, to cry out to him, to just to touch him, just to touch his clothing. And we think about this, my brothers and sisters, in such a powerful way, about how many people do we reach out to? How many people, or am I just all secluded, all into myself? You know, it's, you know, all, in a sense, all about me. But let's go back to this first reading, this Book of Wisdom. And in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program, and my name is Deacon Louis Zemlick. This outreach of the Catholic Church. These are the Catholic Christian scriptures that are read at Mass this weekend, this July 1st, and wishing everyone a happy Independence Day, and in a special way for us to remember in prayer those who have paid the ultimate price, those who have given their lives for this country, and to pray for all of us in this country, and pray for those people who want to be part of this country, that somehow we come to grips with that, to be able to welcome our brothers and sisters, the humanity, and just to reemphasize that too, you know, the Church has a very beautiful teaching on immigration, and that is throughout the world. And that is, if a country can bring in refugees, it should bring in as many as possible, right? So that's what we should do as a country, is bring in as many as possible, people who are longing to come to this country, just as they did 200 years ago and 150 years ago and 100 years ago. And every year since this country has been in existence, people have been dying to come here for freedom, true freedom. But the other part that the Church teaches is that the people who are coming to this country, the people who are coming to any country, should respect the laws of that country. See? So it should be an organized, not chaos, like the chaos that we've had for the last 30 years, because our political leaders for the last 30 years have stuck their heads in the sand and have done nothing for good, orderly immigration into this country. Done nothing. And now we have this chaos, and it all gets blamed upon, you know, the current president, who's probably done more good, you know, and trying to solve this than anyone. That's the facts. So let us go into this Book of Wisdom, right? But isn't that beautiful what the Church teaches on that? That we need to respect the laws, but we also need to help people. See? That's what Jesus would want us to do too. I'm certain of that. That's what Jesus would want us to do. Respect the laws, but also we have to help people. We have to help people too. So God did not make death. See? But the devil did. The envy of the devil. And how often does that enter into us? Right? We want to do what we want to do. We want to decide whether our baby comes into the world or not. We want to decide whether or not an old person should continue to receive health care. See? We are the creators. We are the continuing creators of death that we bring upon this world. The scourge that we create. So death is a consequence of sin. Death enters the world as on account of man's sin. It is through the devil that envy and death enter the world. And then our second reading, you know, it's so beautiful, the teaching on this, multiple teachings on this from 2 Corinthians 8, that already in his incarnation, through which by becoming poor enriches us with his poverty. Jesus enriches us with that poverty. We make our offering ourselves as bread and wine of the Eucharist. Christ's poverty. We become rich. We must help our neighbor. As we become poor, we become rich in Christ. Voluntary humility as poverty in the Spirit. Right-sizing ourselves. Praying for others. Interceding for others. Giving to others. Getting outside of me. Me, me, me. And there's another reading from the Catechism, number 1083, which is quite beautiful, and I really want to read this. And in regards to 2 Corinthians, and how this is just so powerful. The scriptures are so powerful, but so are the church teachings on these scriptures. And if you ever get a catechism of the Catholic Church, it's got a green cover to it. It's got all the scripture readings in the back, and then points to different documents. Things have been written over the last 2,000 years. Amazing, amazing. Not only biblical scholars, but teachers, you know, men and women in the church who have been guiding the church for the last 2,000 years. But let me read this from 1083, and it is quite powerful. The dual dimension of the Christian liturgy is a response of faith and love to our spiritual blessings the Father bestows on us is thus evident. On the one hand, the church, united with her Lord and in the Holy Spirit, blesses the Father for his inexpressible gift. In her adoration, praise, and thanksgiving, on the other hand, until the consummation of God's plan, the church never ceases to present the Father the offering of his own gifts and beg him to send the Holy Spirit upon that offering. Upon herself, upon the faithful, and upon the whole world, so that through communion in the death and resurrection of Christ, the priest, and by the power of the Spirit, these divine blessings will bring forth the fruits of life to the praise of his glorious grace. So fantastic and so beautiful. And just that little bit of scripture, that teaching. And so let us go into the gospel reading today. But this is this restoring the dead to life, right? And not just physically dead, but spiritually dead. You know, you think about how many people have been to reconciliation. You know, the church teaches that you need to go at least once a year. But there are many Catholics, even devout Catholics, I guess you would call them devout Catholics, they go to church every week. They receive the Eucharist, they receive Holy Communion every week, but they don't go to reconciliation. And if you don't go to reconciliation at least once a year to confess your sins, just as to be healed, people pay hundreds of dollars an hour to go to psychiatrists and psychologists, but they refuse to confess their sins. And we all have them. Cussing, swearing, being mean, being uncharitable, being prejudiced, being racist, saying awful things, having terrible conversations, watching terrible things on television and on the internet. You need to confess those things. Do not receive communion if you don't go to reconciliation. It will harm you. It will harm you. Paul makes that perfectly clear, you know, that eating the body and blood of Christ brings condemnation upon ourselves. Okay, so Jesus asked the sick to believe. The woman is healed who touches his clothes. And those who turn to him in faith, he will grant what they wish. Jesus hears our prayers. The woman is healed by touching Jesus' clothes. So we think about that. It's so powerful. So powerful. And then lastly today, I want to touch on this teaching of John Paul's theology of the body. So we have this biblical account of creation analyzed. And this is from his audience on the 12th of September, 1979. The Holy Father compared the two accounts of man's creation from Genesis, establishing basic principles for his study of theology of the body. And I just want to read a couple of paragraphs from that that are quite interesting, but the full documents are available on EWTN's website. If you Google EWTN, Pope John Paul, Theology of the Body, audiences, it will come up in there. But it's quite beautiful here. So it's like, in the beginning, in the case concerns what is treated as one of the first pages of the book of Genesis, we wish to analyze this reality. We must undoubtedly direct our attention, first of all, to the text. The words which Christ spoke in his talk with the Pharisees, found in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, constitute a passage which in turn is set in a well-defined context, without reference to which they can be neither understood nor correctly interpreted. This text is provided by the words, "You have not read that the Creator from the beginning made them male and female." It referred to the so-called first account of creation of man, inserted in the seven-day cycle of creation of the world. However, the context nearest to the word of Christ, taken from Genesis 2:24, is the so-called second account of creation of man, Genesis 2. But indirectly, it is the entire third chapter of Genesis. The second account of creation of man forms a conceptual and stylistic unity with the descriptions of the original innocence, man's happiness, and also his first fall. Granted, the specific context of Christ's words are taken from Genesis 2, one could also include in the context at least the first phrase of the fourth chapter of Genesis, which treats the conception and the birth of man from earthly parents. This is what we intend to do in this present analysis. So my brothers and sisters, I ask you, it's about an hour's worth of reading, but this is just kind of to get the mind moving and the heart moving in the direction for us all to study this theology of the body from St. Pope John Paul II. And all these wonderful audiences, 129 different audiences that he had. And we'll continue to talk about that in the years ahead, because I've got a whole bunch of them here, 129 of them. It's going to take us about 3 years to get through all of them. But I hope you go and check that out. But more than anything, my brothers and sisters, be in prayer. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your families. Pray for yourself. Get outside of yourself. Get on your knees and ask God for help and for forgiveness. And if you are Catholic and if you are receiving the Holy Eucharist, go to reconciliation. All of us have to go. I myself go at least a minimum of once a month. And, you know, that's just to keep my mind clear, that I know that I'm a sinner and that I need help. I need God's help. I need your help. And so say a few prayers for me as well. But pray for our politicians. Pray for our leaders. Pray for people, our civic leaders. Pray for our, you know, the people in the armed services. Pray for the poor. Pray for those who have very little. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Happy Independence Day.